And now, the thrilling continuation of the SML podcast.
None of us have any shame. So, well, maybe sometimes Kian does, but...
I'm full of shame.
So we'll probably be good to go. Guys, if you start going into territory you shouldn't be at, I'll just go like this.
Just start punching them.
Yes.
It's like, oh yeah, we have this great artist coming up soon.
What would John Drake do? Scream at you that you're fired and throw you out the door.
What's up, everyone? This is Joe, SML Podcast 139. The other two assholes are not here this week because one is sick and the other is on a date. So instead, for a fantastic interview, I hired myself a hired gun co-host, Mr. Sean Lynch, a.k.a. Splink, who's been on before. How are you doing, Sean?
I am doing well, so I'll be your poor man's pappy in this interview here.
Does that mean I get to make fun of you the whole time?
You can, and right. You can into greater detail.
All right, well. Go fuck yourself.
Absolutely.
All right. So, despite Pappy and Chris not being here, we have a fantastic interview lined up. If you're a longtime listener of the show, we have had a great partnership with Harmonix. Nick Chester's been on a number of times. We've had John Drake on. Aaron Trites has been on. Eric Pope has been on. And... everyone except Pope left Harmonix, so now we need some new blood, and we got ourselves not one, not two, not three, but... Sean, what's that number after three?
I believe that'd be four you're looking for, Joe.
Yeah, that makes sense. Four members of Harmonix are here with us today. Harmonix folks, how are you doing?
We're pretty good. We're pretty okay.
It's only one voice. Everyone's supposed to answer together.
I know.
We're pretty good. We're pretty okay.
Yeah. Get a chorus going, dude.
So
no, it's just life.
for the people who don't know who Harmonix is or who you folks are, how about you introduce us to who you are and what you do at Harmonix and what games you've worked on and all that other fun stuff?
Well, my name's Allie. I set up a podcast with you guys. I've actually been here for forever. I've been here for a little over 7 years. I was one of the designers on Rock Band 4. I was also a designer and writer on the Dance Central series, a designer on Fantasia Music Evolved. Before that, I worked in the community team, and now I am back in the publishing organization helping out with the Rock Band 4 launch. And I now have a really long title that I don't entirely remember. And I have, yeah, and I have a role that straddles design and publishing. Anyone in the Rock Band Road crew knows me. I am one of the co-managers of that program. So I've been here for forever. I have all the weirdest stories. I used to be behind the scenes when Aaron and Drake and those guys were running around. So that's me.
I'm Josh. I am brand new, pretty much the polar opposite of Allie. This is my third week, so if you want to talk about new blood, this is pretty
damn
much as it gets. I am sitting in Nick Chester's former throne.
Literally,
yes. My desk is his old desk.
The stuff's still there.
And I'm working on pretty much everything community, working really closely with Kian and Chris here, and really excited to be here.
Spoiler alert, I'm Chris. What's up? I'm also one of the community managers here at Harmonix. I have been here a slightly longer time, since January to be exact. But I've been helping Ali a whole bunch with the road crew. We've been getting all up in the community space. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much the deal. So hello.
I don't know who Kian is. I don't know. But, no, I'm just kidding. My name is Kian. I'm relatively new. This is actually, tomorrow is my third month here. Just not that I'm keeping track, right? I'm also an associate community manager working on Rock Band 4. been too big of a fan for too long of a time, I feel like. So I'm kind of like in like, sorry, weird sounds are happening. Just kind of like starstruck half the time, but I'm really loving it and everyone's cool.
We're in a supposedly soundproof room and we can hear the janitor vacuuming.
Should get the janitor on the show. Hello.
Real talk, I've talked to him. He's actually
my name is Lewis. I vacuum the floors.
I'm very excited about next week's DLC, guys. I scrubbed it down. It was great.
Freshly polished DLC. So you guys have mentioned the Rock Band Road Crew. I'm apparently not cool enough to get in that. So do you want to explain to us what the Rock Band Road Crew is?
Yeah, it's basically kind of this really cool program. We launched it in September. It's totally new for us. It's kind of a pilot program. There's a few hundred people in it. It's with sort of this crazy initiative where we gave longtime super hardcore fans, well, actually anybody who's a fan of the game, the chance to get in on this exclusive group who could kind of, I don't know, just have direct access to me and Chris, ask us questions, earn cool prizes, get involved with the launch of the game, stuff like that. And the folks who got in also all got free Rock Band 4 Band in a Box bundle kits. That was pretty rad. People write to us all the time because they're upset that they didn't get in. There was a pre-screening process that we've noticed. Sometimes people's applications didn't meet the pre-screen, so we never even saw them. So I'm passing the buck. Chris and I would have let everybody in.
Truth. Truth
even,
in that.
Even the woman who just submitted a 10-second clip of her toddler on a rocking horse.
I'm not that nice, and like, the first day I got here, I learned of the Road Crew, and I probably would have just said, no, none of you are worthy. Except for like one person. I don't know.
Well, I don't really care about anyone else. I just want to know why I'm not good enough. I thought my video was good, damn it.
I'll get back to you on that. Maybe I'll have to go dig into the Sidekick and find answer? It.
It's because you're just too cool, and we didn't really want to make everyone feel bad.
Oh, good job, Kian. Yeah.
Sure, you goddamn liar.
Whoa.
So are you really from the United Kingdom? Because that might have been...
No, I'm from the United States.
Oh, okay.
From Pennsylvania.
Oh, the colony, yeah.
Yeah.
Pre-screen.
Nope, I am as American gets, and by that I mean I live in an area surrounded by rednecks. So... Yeah, I just chalk it up to I'm not a good enough person to make it into the Road Crew.
Hey, wait, do you have Waffle House by you?
No, sadly I don't.
Oh, man.
So I'm not American. I don't know what Waffle House is. Is that like an IHOP but for waffles?
Yeah.
Like, way better.
I wish Mudry was here to, like, attack you, because I just want to see, like, how you defend Waffle House against Mudry. Mudry is our, like, amplitude dude right now. And he's a big evangelist for IHOP and their mozzarella sticks.
Oh, I didn't know that. We'll throw down tomorrow.
Yeah, allegedly IHOP has the best mozzarella sticks.
Allegedly.
It's a load of crap. He also thinks another restaurant that gave him a gift card is second best. So I don't know if I can trust his opinion.
Who the hell goes to IHOP for mozzarella sticks? You go there for pancakes.
Damn right, you go to pancakes.
So our buddy Nick Mudry, who is working at Amplitude but also does events with us, he has a blog called Mudry's Moz where he reviews mozzarella sticks.
Let's not give blogs a bad name. He has a Twitter account that is microblogging if you want to go with Twitter's original pitch from 2007. He has a microblog of tweets about different restaurants and their mozzarella sticks, and an atrocious You're the Man Now Dog style website that's coming soon.
Now I kind of want Nick to come on the show just to talk about mozzarella sticks.
You should book him next. You should have a mozzarella stick themed episode.
Funny, I actually did ask Nick to come on the show probably a few months ago, but it was during like the summer where everything was stupidly hectic, when Amplitude was still coming out a couple months back, Rock Band was in full swing, and it's just hit me up later on, and it just never happened.
Yeah. He was really just on the road reviewing mozzarella sticks.
Secret life.
That's what it sounds like.
She's not joking, by the way, because I know where he lives and he wasn't there half.
Anyway, do you guys have questions about like our game?
What are your favorite mozzarella sticks?
I don't eat mozzarella sticks because I'm vegan.
Hey. Too bad Chris isn't here. My co-host Chris is a vegan, and I'm sure he would have all the questions for you.
We could talk about kale.
Yep, pretty good. I put kale in smoothies. It makes the smoothies great. Put a little bit of kale, put baby spinach. Works out great. If you want to tie that into this mozzarella stick question, TGI Fridays pre-2013 is the greatest mozzarella stick of all time. Wow. Well, let's talk about Rock Band 4.
Okay, we'll get to Rock Band 4. For the people who don't know what Rock Band 4 is, for people who have lived under a rock for the past half a decade or so, explain to us what is Rock Band and why should people care about it?
Josh, how about you do this one?
It's a game where you play instruments that make you feel like you're in a band. So we have like a microphone and two plastic guitars and a plastic drum set and looks like plastic and rubber, I guess, for the drum kit. and everybody just plays all sorts of different songs from, you know, Tenacious D to Van Halen to Rush to all kinds of stuff. If you have a favorite rock song, it is probably in Rock Band somewhere.
Mine isn't.
What's yours?
Chevelle's the Clincher, and I've been bugging you guys for years for Chevelle.
Hey, dude, if you want more Chevelle, feel free to go to rockband.com/request where we'll be happy to hear you out.
Oh, I have. I have done it.
He has.
So much. I was that guy.
Don't give up. Don't let your dreams be dreams.
I need to make a point. I need to make a point about the request link. People think we don't look at that, and people get so angry when we send them there. Believe me, we look at that. Do you know who used to have to go line by line and crunch all the numbers and correct all the like weird,
terrible typos
that people put in? Or sometimes people would request. I hope this doesn't happen anymore, but I would get requests that were literally, you know, comma, that song that goes, quote, la, 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 here she goes again.
Wow.
And I would be like, for a week straight in this giant Excel spreadsheet trying to normalize everything and looking at stuff like that being like, the song to someone.
Oh my God, that's fantastic.
Yeah, but it was pretty amazing.
I want to, like, besides the fact that people have basically submitted lyrics, apparently, and not actual songs. I actually, like, when did Softcore come out? This is going to loop back in, I promise. Does anyone know offhand what year Softcore?
We're going on a ride here, folks.
Buckle up.
Josh has witnessed my Saw conversation from earlier today. But so at the end of Softcore, they debuted this Japanese rock song from this band that broke up 10 years prior and decided to get back together.
2007, by the way. 2007.
Yes, because the song was released as a single in 2008.
It's the same year the Rock Band was released.
Yes.
Correct.
All right. So this is a big year. Anyways, so that song was like my jam for the consecutive 8 years. It's still my jam is what I'm saying.
X-Japan?
Yes, X-Japan's Ivy. I'm glad someone didn't make me say it out loud without – I'm glad someone basically knew the song.
So they covered for you.
Like an hour a day on the Rock Band request site when I was a junior and senior in high school. I'm making myself seem really young because I am young. But I spent too much time requesting that one song. And less than a year after its release on iTunes, it was a free song in the Rock Band 2 DLC pack. And I flipped out and I actually forgot to do my homework in AP Psych one night. And when the teacher asked me why, I was like, dude, Ivy by X-Japan came out of Rock Band. Like, what do you expect from me? And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about, and that's why I love you as a person.
Those words make no sense to me, but okay, you're still failing.
Fun fact, I was actually the top student in that class. Let's just stroke my ego for a second. But I'm no, but like, that's just like, kind of like the thing is like, that's not a song that by any account seems like someone's just going to be like, advocating for, and it's not a huge song that like made waves in the world of music. Like no one goes, oh yeah, Ivy by X Japan, that one song that you can't stream anywhere, but you can buy on iTunes. And yet, there's a passionate fan base there who wanted XJapan in the game. And I know that because, like I said, I gamed the system and requested it multiple times every day.
I'd like to point out that the key part of that story is that this is not the first conversation of the day that involves Saw for Kian.
It's like the seventh.
So what was the other conversations regarding Saw that you've had?
Do you want an hour-long podcast about Rock Band, or do you want me to talk about the Saw movies?
I mean, we can talk Saw, mozzarella sticks.
Do you want us, like, actually...
Oh, damn, MeUndies just came out with a new underwear.
That's you.
All right, so basically, the conversation started with, like, someone talking about... It was a movie. Someone brought up a movie.
No, we didn't. We brought up the song. First for the song request, like, and you were like,
"No, I'm talking about."
Let me bring this
Slack.
Back to Saw.
No, in one of our Slack channels where we just talk about where we shoot the shit. Someone brought up a movie, and I was like, "I think I've seen that movie almost as many times as I've seen the original Saw." And then we somehow devolved into a conversation about Teletubbies.
What the fuck?
Oh yeah, I can't.
Welcome to the inner workings of Harmonix.
Yeah, so
I want to know how it got to Teletubbies.
Do you want to play a game? And it's like the sudden, like the giggling face.
Don't start because I will do a Jason compression, and no one will be able to hear it who's listening. But I will do one, and I will never end. So let's just pivot to another point.
Someone was talking about.
I think challenge accepted.
Teletubbies. That's how it partly came up. I didn't really
see that was me. That was
the
me.
Whole conversation because I was doing work.
Yeah, it's a thing.
What's work? I'm just kidding.
What do you get paid to do?
Okay. Rock Band 4.
Video games.
So what is your history, or I guess both of you, Joe and Sean, with the Rock Band franchise?
Sean, how about you go first? You could talk a bit.
Well, I've actually been major ridiculous harmonics fan all the way back from Guitar Hero 1 days, like when you guys were still working with Red Octane on that. Disappointingly, I didn't immediately start on a Rock Band. I still kind of continued the Guitar Hero train.
You heathen. You son of a bitch, Sean.
I know.
I trusted you.
I know. I started with Guitar Hero 3, which was after you guys had broken off from Red Octane and had gone and made Rock Band back to 2007.
Son of a bitch.
Saw 4. 7 or whatever the fuck Saw movie was out. It was actually the first Christmas that Rock Band had come out. My friend from down the street was like, "Hey, you should come over. I got Rock Band for Christmas." And it's really hard because they were trying to drum and they have no rhythm at all. So I was like, this will be fun. And I absolutely fell in love with the drumming in the game. Like, it was just right from the get-go. And I'm like, well, I got to buy this game now. Fucking trade Guitar Hero 3 in the very next week, saved us some cash because I'm still in like high school at the time, put it towards the very first Rock Band, and I've been an avid fan ever since, buying DLC almost every single week. I went to the midnight launch. The freaking GameStop in the area only had the midnight launch for the Beatles Rock Band, but I was at that one, and I was so excited for, you know, $9.99 to get that game and play the Beatles and be able to drum as Ringo, which is a really weird statement to say ever.
No, it's the coolest. That was like probably when I first started here, Beatles Rock Band was in development and it was this giant secret we couldn't tell anyone about. And it was like the coolest thing ever. Also getting to listen to the stems, like the raw stems of Ringo drumming or the dude singing was like, it's pretty crazy. And then one day Yoko Ono.
That's got to be a trip to listen to the raw stems of the
really?
Beatles.
Yes. Oh my God.
It is
Ringo,
cool.
Ringo Starr is like a human metronome. He's got like perfect time. It was crazy.
Then Yoko came in and was complaining about the lack of wind on the roof set.
No, she was amazing. She's a genius. She's so smart. She was wicked cool.
Before we devolve into another conversation.
Before we devolve into more fandom conversations. Wait, do you play drums outside the game?
A little bit. I mean, I have like very beginner level drumming. I mean, I have a really rudimentary drum set and I'm not really in a band or anything, but like the game definitely helped with my rhythm in my rudimentary drumming. So that's a plus as well.
Oh yeah. Awesome. We've heard a whole bunch of stories about people who had not like their confidence, but totally were able to explore new options with the instruments from Rock Band and therefore turned into actual real life musicians, are in bands and like do the whole touring thing and have become actual rock stars because of the game, which is pretty awesome to hear. Have you guys actually heard of a band called The Warning?
I've heard of them, but only because they're in Rock Band 4 and I kind of looked up the story of them, and I think that it's fucking awesome that you guys put them in the game.
Yeah, so reason we put them in the game, The Warning, so just for context, The Warning is a group of three sisters who they had this super kick-ass video. They come from Mexico, and they did this, like, epic video. I think it was of a Metallica song, mm-hmm. and yes, they got enough funding or something to kind of, like, come to the States and essentially just do a whole tour. And then they got on Ellen, and then Ellen fell in love with them, and now they're, like, running with Ellen for a whole year kind of thing. They're awesome people. I got to play Rock Band with them, literally in the room that we're sitting in, and they're just, like, imagine, like,
you were there 12... when they learned how the song.
Yeah, game. Yeah. They, like, imagine, like, 12-year-old girls kicking ass at real instruments and then, like, literally screaming at the top of their lungs when they found out their song was going to be in Rock Band.
Yeah, and they started out playing Rock Band together and then were like, hey, this is pretty fun. Let's just have a real band.
Yep.
And give me more proof of that. One of the songs they've covered that isn't well-known compared to the Enter Sandman shinding or whatever... it's Hysteria by Muse, so that's just how you know.
Nice.
Deep down. Yeah. I saw that 2 days ago on like one of those This Is My Jam imitators. For those of you who don't know This Is My Jam, Google it. It's the greatest social network that no longer is a thing.
Oh, but basically,
I was on Let's Loop, as the site is called, and I'm scrolling down, I see Hysteria, parentheses, cover by Muse, and I'm like, what? Muse wrote this? And I see The Warning, and I'm like, no way. They also did that, and they're awesome, and they're super talented. Yep.
Yeah, I saw their Ellen appearance, and when they were saying that they learned to play music and they got into music because of Rock Band, I was like, that's awesome that they started with the game, and now they're in the game.
Yep. It's got to be mind-blowing for them. Like, I can only imagine. And especially being so young, it's like, oh, man, they've got their whole life ahead of them. It's pretty sweet.
If I had been told when I played Xanarkind at my piano recital at age 13 that if I had just not given up on piano, I could have been in Rock Band at what Rock Band about. Like, if that was a thing, like if rhythm games at the time were not an American thing, they were still very much Dance Dance Revolution with Castles in the Sky, Sugaru, all those other songs, and also like the super niche like Guitar Freaks, Drum Mania, DJ Max, etc. Like, that's how I got into rhythm games. But then, like, had I known, like, 1 year later, Guitar Hero was going to come out and change everything, and that I probably wouldn't have quit piano, and I'd probably be playing Xanarkind right now on a piano on this podcast. Point is, had I known video games were going to make music cool again, to me, personally...
I like that comment. To me, personally. Music,
I just want to make that clear, because there was a time where I just... I was so sick of listening to me because everyone judged everyone for their taste.
Yeah.
What do you expect?
So, Joe, we didn't get to hear about like your history with us.
My harmonics history actually is before Guitar Hero. I used to have a series of parties that my friends would come to, and we would always play Karaoke Revolution.
Oh, hell yeah!
Okay. I was stunned hell right yeah. there because in my head I'm like, he's gonna like make a joke, and I'm gonna be like, you're talking about Karaoke Revolution, not like Amplitude or any of this.
I don't know. I had my fair share with Frequency and Amplitude as well. I was terrible at them. Like, I would watch my friend Tim Yarbrough is amazing at those games. They would have head-to-head games, Slipknot and Garbage and everything else, and they would blow me away with how good they were at the game.
You know who else will blow you away with how good he is at the game? Josh, the Tutinator Harrison, the community manager here.
I'm all right.
But yeah, I've always been a big harmonics fan since then. And my one of those parties that we had, one of my friends brought up the first Guitar Hero for the PS2. He's like, mm-hmm. Oh, we play Karaoke Revolution all the time. You should check this game out. It's from the same people. And I basically fell in love right then and there. I picked up the game bundle for the PS2. I ended up grabbing Guitar Hero 2 when it came out. Guitar Hero 2 hit the 360. I bought that. I bought all the DLC that came out for it. And then I heard about the whole Red Octane, Activision, and EA Harmonix kind of divorce, I guess. And I immediately made the decision there that I was going to follow Harmonix, because Harmonix is made of musicians, where Neversoft are a bunch of skateboard developers who are being in charge of making a music game now. I still bought the Guitar Hero games because I'm still a fan of the series, but for the most part, I stuck with Harmonix. And I was working at Walmart at the time when the first Rock Band came out. I actually took off work early so I could stand in line at my own store to get Rock Band full band bundle the day of release.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Awesome.
And
wait, so since you have the karaoke history, are you usually on vocals when you play Rock Band then?
No, I actually bought the full band bundle because I wanted to do drums, but I was horrible at it. I just can't get that foot and arm independence thing down, so I switched over to guitar. Eventually, I started, you know, people would do videos of the DLC, the weekly DLC, and mm-hmm. I would watch people do them. And that's actually where I met Splink, because he used to do those videos with some people, and they, instead of having four people every week, it started to drop down to three. And I offered to join and play bass with them, and I would do bass every morning. And after so much time, it just ended up where me and Splink were just doing guitar and drum videos every week, because yeah. those older games had something called online play.
And I don't know.
Yeah, what is that?
We have static on our end of the line right now.
But yeah, I've been big into Rock Band ever since. I have, God, well, I'm probably, including Rock Band Network, Rock Band 3, all the DLC, I'm probably close to 2,900 songs total.
Wow.
I have spent a ridiculous amount of money on DLC, and it's a miracle that my wife hasn't left me yet.
Oh. But, so wait, what is out of all of that huge library, what is the song you play the most? Not your favorite song. Which one you actually play the most?
We all answer this question? Like,
If you want my honest answer, the song I have played the most,
yeah.
It is Perry Grip's Nom Nom Nom.
Yes!
Fucking knew it.
And I am furious that I can't play that in Rock Band 4.
You know, I tried to get that put in Dance Central. Can you imagine if you're just shaking your butt? Nom 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 Nom.
That would be fantastic. And then a close runner-up, I'm sure Sean wants to mention his answer here.
Well, I mean, by pure number count, it has to be Nom Nom Nom, strictly from every Tuesday morning when we're trying to do the DLC and Joe's adding like the song seven times on. He's like, it's just a minute, it's fine, we'll just add it on. But I mean, like, a runner up would probably be Hard Rock Hallelujah, because
Lordy,
fuck yeah, Lordy.
Absolutely. We rocked the shit out of that. That was our warm-up song every Tuesday as well, from like the Rock Band 3 days.
Yep.
That was such a great song. It was such a fun song to play.
Can we like all go around the room? Because I'm curious.
I'm also very curious. Let's start with Josh.
I don't know which I've played more, but it's either Everlong by the Foo Fighters mm-hmm. or Reptilia by the Strokes.
Hell yeah. That was my favorite
nice.
Solo.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh man, so during Rock Band 3, my most played on the demo floors, because this other guy on the dev team and I would try to make people really uncomfortable, was definitely Killing Loneliness. And we'd be like super dramatic about it and roll around on the floor.
Killing Loneliness.
Yeah, and we'd walk up to people in the crowd. It'd be like 8 a.m. we'd be sound checking and people would be trying to play the game with us, so we would just be like stroking their faces. I think probably the song I've played the most, because I've staffed so many Rock Band nights, it's got to be a tie between Tribute,
oh my god,
and Gay Bar.
Oh god, I want Gay Bar back so bad.
Yeah,
just gonna be honest here, I don't not like Tribute, but I've learned to hate it.
Yes.
I love it. I will still get up every. I will play any instrument on it.
Did you hear it three times at the same time in one event in the span of 5 minutes?
Yeah,
it was right there.
Because I know Chris and I were at PAX, and I was standing next to one stage, and I heard Tribute, and 10 seconds later, I heard, "This is the greatest song." I was like, "No," and then I walked away like slightly from the main stage, and I could hear guys like headphones on the ground because he forgot to put them on, and I heard, "This is the greatest." I was like,
My hat just fell off. I think because I've been doing this for so long, I like don't get sick of songs. I just start to like them more and more.
Yeah.
I think now it's been that many years where I've just cracked.
I was going to say, I think it's going to take that threshold. And once we're over it, I'm just going to like be in love with all the songs I've hated for so long.
Do you ever have like a dip where it's like, okay, I'm at a 4 out of 10 for liking the song. And then it goes down to a 2, but then it goes up to like a 4.
No, but I think because I was telling someone, I think it's because so when I was working on Fantasia, so I was a writer for the game and a level designer. So I would always get to the level design meetings after everyone had picked their songs to author. So I would always get the songs that no one else wanted to do. And like, I also need to say, I can't say any of their names, but more than half of my songs never made it onto the disc. And so, or to DLC or to anything, because some of them were really depressing. But to author a song, you're listening to it all day long for sometimes like 2 or 3 weeks at a time, same song, on repeat. And there was one song, and this is like the moment I broke, where I couldn't sleep for like 4 days because every time I went to sleep, I would start to see my authoring.
Oh man.
And hear the song in my head. And I'll never forget the day that I finally finished it. And then someone walking by the room goes, "What are you doing with that song? We just cut that." And I was like, "No."
And 7 people died that day.
Yeah. I think I wanted to flip my desk over, except
people flip.
Except it was a standing desk and really heavy. I think I just went across the street and bought like 4 vegan ice cream bars and then sat in the corner of our kitchen for an hour like, "Nobody come over here.
Avengers Galaxy.
You just have this ice cream." No, at the co-op had frozen bars.
You learned something new.
Yeah. Kian, what are your songs?
I feel like I can't say half of them because I'm going to be like feeding this like meme that has been in the Rock Band community since the beginning. So I think that
it's Muse, isn't it?
It's most certainly not Hysteria by Muse, and I have not played that bass line and guitar line like 5 times a day for like 5 years.
I'll gladly say Hysteria is one of my most played. It's just such a fun bass line to play.
That is,
hell yeah.
I'm happy to say that song is amazing, and I'm a Muse fan up until an album or two ago. I don't know. But, like, there's so many songs that I've played hundreds of times over the years, and mostly because my friends that I play with, they're not, like, good. And so they don't play video games that are – well, some of them just actually don't play video games. They're like, the athletic type who also are friends with me, so that's weird. Basically, they'd be like, let's play I don't know, what's that one Nine Inch Nails song we'd always play? That like, that's a conversation. I'm like, "Oh, The Hand That Feeds." But yeah, let's play that one. So like, top like 5 tied in general vicinity. And I'm sorry it's 5 because it's just how many songs I play. The Hand That Feeds, the X Japan song, prequel to the sequel, Hysteria by Muse, and Colony of Birchmen by Mastodon.
Nice.
Funnily enough, I think that's every band I love that's still like modern, because like I could have thrown a David Bowie song and they're a Queen. But
you know what song I used to play over and over and over again trying to get a perfect gold stars on vocals was the Dream Theater song Panic Attack.
Oh man.
I like to break out into song occasionally because those are songs I love, and Panic Attack is actually like during the Rock Band 2 days I played that song too much because, like, that and Painkiller were my, like, arguments for what's the hardest rhythm game on the market right now. I was like,
oh my god, and when we got the Iron Maiden pack, Fear of the Dark, also, especially because we have the live yelling out, "Argentina!" is the best part.
Also, like, that's just, like, an example of, like, how awesome things are, because we have a live version of a great song that involves you actually yelling, "Argentina!" But also, like, we have, like, those Vault editions, like Working Man by Rush. That song is amazing, like, but the Vault edition is, like, that kind of song where, like, if you're not familiar enough with this original, it's like, oh, cool, they have the song now. But, like, you like, put them side to side if you're, like, a Rush nerd. You're like, the subtle difference is so mind-blowing. Like, I'm leaning into the microphone right now, like, kind of, like, miming what I'd imagine, like, a super hardcore Rush fan is doing, like, stroking his chin going, yeah, no, that solo is slightly different. No, that drummer before Neil Peart, he totally was doing something different in that one drum solo. Yeah. I feel like they recorded a different vocal track this time because Getty's a bit higher pitch there. Like, it's just like, it's really cool because The Trees was a Vault edition too. I could nerd out about, like, the cool, like, slightly different versions of songs that have come to Rock Band because I remember being like, something feels right, something feels wrong. And then I loved that wrong.
Yeah, that leads me to a handful of questions from everything we just talked about. In regards to the different versions of songs, what the fuck was up with that weird version of Last Resort from Papa Roach?
That's what they sent us. Those were the stems that their company and label sent us. That's just what they had.
You gotta understand that studio albums don't always use, like, the same stems that are actually, like, the master recordings.
Yeah, and then why is it so different in Rock Band 4 now?
That,
I have to change again?
I'd have to actually get Drew, our audio lead, in here. He probably did some forensics on it, or I don't know. I was on sabbatical for a chunk of the summer, so who knows what happened.
Basically, he said he cut his life into pieces. And he was running around, he's crying, he's just like, I have to change this all.
And I don't know if that had anything to do with the Harmonies project happening, but the new, like, the version of Last Resort that's in the game now for Rock Band 4 sounds so much different than it used to.
Hmm.
That's, like, one of those weird details I don't think we're going to have an answer for.
Is it closer or farther away from the...
It sounds miles better.
Better, okay.
Yeah, cool. It is much better than it used to be.
Okay.
Well, then you're welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome for whatever we did. Another question. Of course, the popular Rock Band meme is more Muse. My question isn't when are we getting more, but how the hell hasn't Rock Band lost Hysteria yet? For all the songs that you guys have lost the licensing for, it seems like Muse would have been one to go already.
Hmm.
Do we look like... Oh, wait, we don't have a camera, but do we look like lawyers? Do we sound like lawyers to you? I don't want to talk legal stuff. I feel like
lawyers do like soft.
So these are actually questions for people who wear suits. And we four are in sweatpants and jeans.
I'm wearing a Majora's Mask hat, and that should tell you everything. I have two Rock Band wristbands on.
I just cut off my mullet.
Nothing else.
No, I'm wearing other clothes.
Yeah.
I also have a Nine Inch Nails shirt on, if that helps, like, make me sound more unprofessional. So
I have a wrestling shirt on.
You have a wrestling shirt on?
Yes.
Like, vintage or current?
Daniel Bryan.
Ah, all right, cool.
Respect the beard.
I'm a Gorilla Monsoon fan myself.
Nice.
Hashtag Allie is very old.
So who was all with Nick and the rest of the crew when you guys brought it to WWE for them to play Rock Band 4?
Yeah, so that was, there was a whole bunch of, I know that Pope was there, but there was a whole bunch of people from the community team that went for that one day. We also have... one of our other duders who's not actually on the community team, his name's Cardoza, and he's like a super WWE fan, and he also went to that event, and apparently his mind was blown because it was that damn good. So
he's really tight with Cardoza, who's one of our designers, and he works on a cute little game we just launched called Beatniks. He's
available on iOS and Android.
Yeah, he's pals with Xavier Woods,
who came into our studio the day later and just did like a full tour. Just chilled at our studio all day.
That's cool as hell.
Yeah. Next question. I really like this rapid fire thing we're doing right now. It gives us like a sense of urgency.
Even though we're giving a lot of backstory to each of these questions, like, if we want to do rapid fire, we should do like 15
like
seconds.
We
should put like a total like.
I can time this.
Yeah.
Not even.
What is your name? What is your favorite color? What is your question? Yes, thank you. Actually, for questions, one of the co-hosts, Pappy, wrote in an email. He said, second host here, sorry I couldn't be on the show, decided to get the flu, so now I'm doped up and trying not to pee out my butt. That said, two questions. First, the one I always ask developers, what are you playing when you're not working on, pimping, or owning other people at your own game?
Oh, that's a great one. Let's do this super rapid fire. Everyone gets to say two things. Josh, we'll start with you.
Rocket League and Towerfall.
Nice.
Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat.
Nice.
Nice.
I play Paper Mario 64 and Mario Kart Double Dash on the GameCube.
Awesome answers.
Trying to figure out. So let's just say Rock Band 4, like legitimately, and then I bought a Dragon Ball Z game for 3DS by the Guilty Gear developers. I don't know what it's called.
There's so many more than two words, Dean. You're terrible.
They said two answers, not two words.
And saw the video game.
Yeah.
Like, that's a real thing.
I'm just watching Saw over and over and over again.
Yeah, there is a Saw video game.
The first one's not bad. The second one is sure. Much like Saw. The rest of them. Not
I think
good.
There isn't there Wait, two Saw games?
Yes.
Yeah.
What is Poppy?
They made a second one?
Yeah, let's get into the second question instead of.
His second question, actually second through eighth question, any chance of Fuel showing up in Rock Band?
You mean like Metallica song? Like
No, the band Fuel.
Oh, there's pretty much, so to be like totally frank, there's pretty much a chance of anybody at any time, but there's all these other considerations totally outside of the control of the people in this room when it comes to music licensing. So sort of the party line is like, anything is possible, but it's like, anything is possible if the stems exist, if we can get their label to agree, if all the band members are cool with it, if, you know, giant list of legalese and legal concerns.
There is, so basically, to sum that up, there is a picture that exists on the internet of a guy standing in front of a whiteboard. It's like a chart that's like showing connections between nodes. And it is basically just a blob, and I think that's just how complicated the situation is with licensing music.
You guys know, I'm sure you've seen it, that little, like, shrug text that's going around. Shrug guy.
Chris is literally doing that right now.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the gigantic shrug guy.
Licensing is hard. That's what Aaron Trites would always tell me when I was naive and kept asking, like, so, like, why don't you have my favorite song in the game that I've also requested 1,000 times a day for the past 2 weeks, like that one song we mentioned earlier. And that's the answer.
Next question.
What's the website? rockband.com/request.
Wait, I thought you said this is questions 2 through 8. Is there a multi-part to this?
No, that's just 7 questions of him asking when Fuel is going to be in the game.
Does he just stretch out the word Fuel and put question marks in between each letter?
Oh God, I can imagine someone actually typing that in the request link. But I don't have to edit. I don't have to compile it anymore. So go ahead and be terrible.
I'm actually gonna be like, for fun, looking at like the list. I won't be telling you anything that I see, but I'm like super excited to look at this list.
Fun fact, though, out of all the ones that have been requested, we have absolutely gotten, I think, 2, if not 3. Songs from the top 25 most requested into the Rock Band game.
I believe when I was just a humble fan back in May or whatever, Nick Chester and Pope were at IGN, and they were like, oh yeah, we got Hail the King. That was the number one most requested song. I was like, damn.
Yeah, you guys can't see it right now, but Kian got new glasses, and he's sliding back in his chair with his glasses on the edge of his
Sorry, I'm too used to like
gesticulating wildly.
It's as the oldest man in the room. He's Benjamin buttoning himself.
Oh my god.
That's funny because we could go with another can of worms about.
Next question.
Sean, do you have any questions before I start asking more?
Not at the moment. Come back to me.
You bastard.
I had the Fuel question, and then he stole it. And
oh, you were going to ask about Fuel, too?
The absentee, the one who's not even here.
Oh, you got owned by Pappy.
By email, you wanted to ask about, like, some ridiculous stories or crazy moments or stuff. Was there stuff that like, Nick and Drake told you guys that you wanted to ask us about?
Oh, God, I don't even remember. Nick has been on so many times, I think 3 different times over the course of 2.5 years. I'm not sure if there's any stupid stories he could tell us. Something I did ask Nick before he left the company that I've always wanted to ask on the show and kind of get like a public acknowledgement of the answer is, why the hell did Enter Sandman work in Rock Band Blitz?
Oh, it's just licensing.
Why do you
work in it? Like,
talk about Metallica.
Because Enter Sandman was in Rock Band 1 and it never exported. But for some reason, there was a file floating around online that was Enter Sandman that was playable in Rock Band 3. And for some reason, the song worked in Rock Band Blitz. When stuff like Blondie or the Dandy Warhols that got pulled from Rock Band Network, those songs would force you to disconnect from Rock Central. Enter Sandman worked and had a leaderboard. How and why?
Question. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Why does anything ever happen? Like, I don't have an answer. I don't think anyone in this room has an answer. I think we're like looking at each other going, is this a thing? Like, this happened?
I didn't know if like that was something that Harmonix knew about, that Rock Band 3 save file for Enter Sandman was out there or not, or was it ever intended to be relicensed?
Well, I mean, we didn't have it in RB3 because of licensing issues, so, but there's always stuff that ends up in the code, you know, brought over game to game that sometimes is like not meant to be there or is accidentally reintroduced, but at the end of the day, it's one of these, like, again, we just have to shrug guy emoji it.
Yeah.
I just never knew where that file came from and why it still worked, even though Rock Band 3's latest update got rid of all customs, how that worked.
I have a question to answer your question. What is your next question?
What are your thoughts on the customs community for Rock Band?
We are not going to answer this, so let's go to the next one.
I want to answer that question with a question. What is your next question? I feel like
that was the perfect chance for the Rage Against the Machine moment.
I feel like you're more of a baseball guy or a hardball guy. That's where I'm going.
I was waiting for the Rage Against the Machine answer on that.
Oh, you want that? Put my glasses on.
He's putting his glasses back on.
Shit's getting real.
Oh, now he's pulling out his phone and he's pulling up a musical backing track.
Oh my god!
That comes on theme song.
If a Jew, perhaps we can actually split up the stems so we can get the musical backing track and then Kian's vocal track of him yelling "Rage Against the Machine" lyrics at you.
Oh my god, that would be fantastic! And I'll just splice it in later.
Some of those are work forces are the same that burn crosses. That's all I'm going to say to that.
Next question.
Oh my god. So how did Fantasia come to be?
Oh my god, there's actually a really cool story involved with that, and I'm gonna fuck it up, so I'll tell you to go online, write about it. But basically, so Harmonix has like a long-standing relationship with Disney way back in the day.
The company actually made
musical interactive attractions for the theme park. Some of them are still there. You can go play with them and stuff. So Disney wanted to make a video game version of Fantasia, and they just, like, just from working with us in the past and because of our history with music games, they sort of were like, duh, you guys. So, you know, our guys talked to their guys, and next thing you know, everything was happening. I'll try to dig it up and send it around to you guys, because there's some really, really cool interviews from like 2 years ago that have some cool details about everything.
That's like not a well-known thing that like I only found out while doing a research paper on the history of rhythm games for a college course, is what you just said, that there was a period of time where Harmonix was making interactive installations at like Disney World or Disneyland. That was like a cool fact that I think more people need to know.
Like, what kind of stuff did they make for Disneyland, Disney World?
There's still one of the things that I think is still there. I mean, I haven't been to Disney World in like a couple years, but one thing that is still there is there's this little like light wall you could stand in front of, and it was basically like the axe, you know, Harmonix's first project, except bigger and blown up, and you could interact with it with your body, and it was projected on a wall. I feel like it was I feel like I remember playing it when I was a little kid, but then that's always one of those things where I don't know if I'm just projecting my experiences as an adult backward. But yeah, there's all sorts of like cool stuff they worked on.
Yeah, it's something I never knew about. I didn't know that Harmonix did stuff for Disney World and Disneyland. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. The first few years the company was open, they really explored a lot of like musical interactive toys and games and stuff like that.
I think the story's been told, but maybe it was Greg LaPiccolo or maybe it was like Alex, but like in an interview, like explaining like how did a company that was trying to just like make music interactive and more accessible end up making like Frequency? And I remember the story just being like, we saw like the Japanese game scene of like these like the games I mentioned are like Dance Dance Revolution, whatnot, like blowing up in the arcades. And this could be totally apocryphal. I'm just trying to like go into the deepest depths of my memories from when I actually took time to research this. But it's like they saw like this is a cool way to like make music more accessible to people and make them feel like they're more in sync with what's actually going on in the music rather than passively listening.
Nice.
Yeah.
Learning things. SML is a learning experience.
Yep, history.
So much learning.
Allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
Sean, do you have a question yet?
Yes.
Yay!
Yes, yeah, that was excitement, yes. So, this is kind of going with Rock Band 4. I know that most people are probably going to be saying like U2 or Elvis is the terms of like the most excited at having an artist or a song in it. For me personally, it has to go with Tongue Tied by Group Love.
Nice. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's like, a great song.
Like any other than that or the warning that be like surprised or was excited to getting in the game that you guys were excited about. Mm-hmm. There was English in that somewhere.
Yeah.
I'll reiterate the question. So, is what was a nice surprise?
Yes.
So for me, I freaked out when we got Elvis because I'm a huge Elvis fan.
Mm-hmm.
I've been putting I've been here for a million years. I've been putting Elvis like
seven does not equal a million. I just want to point that out.
Well, nah. Yeah, thank you. Say, Grandpa, put your glasses back.
Yeah, that's fine,
Dave. Elvis for me, I was super excited about. Also, plug, one of my bands is on the disc too, so that's exciting. I'm not going to tell you which one though.
Oh, come on, you gotta tell us.
Yeah.
Lightning Bolt. It's Lightning Bolt.
Yes, I'm really Brian Gibson.
It's true.
Just kidding. No, my band is called Johnny Blazes and the Pretty Boys. And so that was like super exciting too because that band is basically my family. And it was just super cool to hear. And Jay, who arranges all our music, is like an insane guitar player. So I was really excited to get to actually freestyle guitar solo over his stuff because I'm a terrible guitar player and I'll never actually play anything that he wrote.
I got to say that I both love and hate that song. I love it because the bass line just gets stuck in my head and it's a great bass line and great instrumental. It plays so much during the main menu for me that I can't stand to hear it anymore.
I had no,
don't worry
that.
About it, guys. Don't worry. It's like a four for you. Just go down to a two and then we'll jump right back up.
I think it already hit the two and it's working its way back up.
There you go. That's all it needs. It's the magic of Rock Band.
I want to hear Josh's opinion before we go to Chris and myself.
Mine honestly is the Proto Men. I have loved them for a long time. A good friend of mine from when I was in college introduced me to them, and I kind of brushed them off at first and then found them again later, and she's like, yeah, I told you about this, you could have had all these years like this. So she was the total hipster in that sense. But yeah, I was really, really excited to have them in Rock Band 4.
What did you do when you found out about them? Did you light up the night or anything? Did you just like...
I did.
Sorry, I like to do that.
I liked... I just listened to both of their albums over and over and over again because there were only two at the time I started really getting into them.
They're so good live.
Yeah, no, they're live. They're great live.
It was my... Like, I had been listening to them for a week, and this was, like, back in July or something. They played the Middle East. I've probably been, like, seriously listening to them for a week. And like 2 days before their concert, I was like, hey, you want to go to the program? I was like, sure.
I also saw them at the Middle East upstairs, which coincidentally is like across the street from where old Harmonix HQ used to be.
Mm-hmm. Yep, pretty much.
Yeah, my co-host Chris just played there last weekend.
Oh, nice.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Wait, last weekend? Wasn't Mimosa there last weekend? Or no, that was Paradise. Whatever.
He's in some, I don't remember the name of the band. It's some cover band. That's part of the reason why he's not here most of our weeks anymore. It's because he's out traveling with the band, and he was sad that Nick Chester left Harmonix because he was going to ask if he could like meet up with anyone up there. It's like, yeah, I don't know anyone up there anymore. So,
well, now you have all four of us, but you also know that we have no control over anything.
All right, Chris, your biggest surprise.
What's the biggest surprise of what? Like,
artist?
Biggest surprise. I mean, I would definitely go with the Elvis Presley one, that's for sure. Because it's awesome. And I love Suspicious Minds. I thought we were just going with favorite on disc song. Can I just talk about that?
Yeah, just say your favorite. Cool.
Great. So I don't really have a favorite. That's my answer.
God damn it.
Other question? I don't have an answer for this other question that I just asked myself.
There are like a small handful of stuff that so for context, I was totally that kid that played the crap out of Rock Band back when Rock Band was a thing, was the original Rock Band, and like totally started on that medium guitar and worked my way up to expert. So now I'm doing the same thing with drums. For the first time in my life, I've been able to get past medium and hard on drums, and I'm finally starting to play expert drums, which is like a big deal for me. So I am really interested in the songs that are particularly challenging for my personal skill, yeah, on drums. So I really like the songs like Little Miss Can't Be Wrong, because it's like a fun song to play as well. I'm not really a score chaser, so I just totally enjoy like just seeing if I can personally nail it more than anything else. So Little Miss Can't Be Wrong is pretty sweet. I also really like Super Unknown by Soundgarden. That's like a really fun song to play, and I'm pretty into it. So,
Kian, you have to do your answer in four words, and I'm holding up my fingers. We're going to count them down. No, you can't ask that.
Those are four words.
What if I choose? Oh,
sorry. Lightning Bolt, Dream Genie.
Great.
That's four words. Perfect. Perfect.
I almost said Dream Genie by Lightning Bolt. That would have been fine. Just so you know.
And there's 20 more.
Oh my God.
No, he says something before I responded.
So was Dream Genie, was that for your biggest surprise that made it, or for your favorite?
Both.
What about everyone else for your favorite on disc song?
Gin Blossoms.
Dream Genie might be mine, actually, because it's so freaking hard. It's awesome.
I think I got to go with My God is the Sun.
Yeah, that's a pretty solid one. Also fun on drums. Good challenge.
It's also really fun on vocals because I love just talking like Josh Homme sings, like, hey, oh my God. I did it at a launch event. We did at GameStop nearby, and one of our coworkers walked in. She like, put some effort into it. I was like, are you listening to the song? I'm doing that all the time. I was talking to my God. Just be like, listen up. Like, you're all beautiful people. I'm just singing the way he likes to sing.
We have time for two more questions, and then we all got a jet. Is that cool with you guys?
All right. Are we going with fun questions or like in-depth, hard-hitting questions?
You can do one of them.
That's one question, Joe. What are you doing?
God damn.
Oh, no. No, Mulligan, that doesn't count. You get two more. No.
All right, cool.
I personally am always up for fun questions because sometimes they lead to the hard-hitting stuff, but it's not my podcast.
Well, one I definitely want to ask is because X Japan was mentioned earlier, which is part of the 20 free songs in Rock Band 2, which isn't available yet in Rock Band 4. Mm-hmm. Is there any idea of when songs like that are going to start showing up for us?
Soon.
Besides the trademarked soon.
No, for sure. I mean, so when we launched, we had over 1,700 tracks of DLC that was available in the store for purchase and for re-download, which is like
you have to imagine with our crew and the amount of people that Harmonix is now is pretty insane and amazing that we made it happen.
I just want to remove all the qualifiers and say that's just insane.
Yeah. Amazing. That being said, we are absolutely continuing to work on getting all the content over, including those 20 songs. So for the people that did previously download it and get those 20 free songs, you will absolutely have them at least. I can't make promises, but
just stop talking.
Yeah.
Soon.
As soon as possible.
Does any RBN stuff fit in there as well, or is that a completely separate deal?
So I want to ask your question. What is the next question? Your last question.
RBN, like a couple of people asked us about this on Twitter. RBN has its own list of separate complicated factors that we're looking into. So for right now, the focus is like the more immediate stuff
and the license stuff
that Chris mentioned. But like I said earlier, shrug guy, anything is possible ever. Maybe, definitely, maybe.
Yeah, my co-host Chris is actually kind of bummed that RBN stuff isn't carrying over because he has 3 songs on Rock Band Network with the band Ethereal Collapse.
Aww. Yeah, that's super sweet. Also, keep in mind, RBN was only for like a Microsoft thing.
Yeah.
Right now, we need to focus on getting all of the content live for both Microsoft and Sony, and then we might be able to turn our focus on other things.
Yeah, but I mean, I hear you guys. I owned a ton of RBN songs, too.
Yeah, and RBN songs are awesome, too.
I think I own way too many RBN songs. There's just so many huge bands that came through RBN, like A Day to Remember, Seether, Danny B with Super Meat Boy songs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you want me to tie this back into sock for a second? Because another sock.
No more sock. Last question. Yes. We're running out of time.
All right, last question. How big of an honor is it to finally come on the SML podcast?
So, true story, when I was 8 years old, I asked for my birthday to be on this podcast, and my parents said, someday, if you work hard and you try hard enough and you do good in school and you're ambitious and passionate and you map your career and you work hard on your extracurricular activities and your SAT scores, which at the time were only math and verbal, and there was no essay portion. And so I have been working towards this for well over 20 years now, and it is, I would say, one of the largest honors that any human has ever had the honor.
I just want to point out,
there was no grin or anything on Josh's face. That was just like straight-faced an answer. So I think he's being like totally honest.
No, that's 98% honest.
Larry's laughing.
You got those SAT scores, is what you're saying.
I've been waiting for Nick Chester to leave the building so I could step in.
Yeah, who scared Nick away anyways?
Me, so I could be on
that's
your podcast.
Lie.
Sweet.
She's saying that's pander. The truth is, Nick is still scared of that time I forced him to sing "Raining Blood" at PAX East before that DLC was released, because I never like go a day without bringing it up.
All right. Any other final thoughts, Harmonix people?
Yeah. Any final words for us? Any final farewells?
Thanks a lot for having us on the podcast for sure.
Oh, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, this was super fun. I'm sorry I had to make it about Saw.
You need to have Kian back in the future so you guys can only talk about Saw.
We got to get Nick on, too.
Yeah, Nick on so that you guys can talk about mozzarella sticks. And then I'll come back so me and your co-host can just talk about kale.
Yes. Yes.
And I'll just be here twiddling my thumbs.
Absolutely. Anytime, Harmonix is always welcome on our show. You guys have been awesome to us since our early days in episode 20 when Nick Chester first came on. And here we are 119 episodes later and Harmonix is still being a part of our show.
That's like 139 episodes total.
It is. It's crazy. Math is fucked up.
It is. That's fucked up.
So I do want to thank all of you for coming on. It has been a blast. You are welcome back anytime. Is there any final words from you guys that you would like to share for our listeners? Or do you just want to say, like, fuck Guitar Hero, something like that?
I have a final word. Mustard.
I actually do want to say something. I want to say, be kind, live long, not live a life of hate.
Oh, come on, man. Why?
I totally thought
I'm serious for a second. No, you said live long, and then you didn't follow up with prosper.
Yeah, that's the expectation, and I was actually trying to be serious. Like, there's been a lot of bad shit lately, and I just wanted to take a minute to get real and say, like, this Rock Band's a game known for creating empathy. Be nice to people.
Those are good words. Those are good words.
Yeah, go watch the Saw franchise.
Yeah, go watch Saw. Go watch a whole bunch of murder after I tell everyone to be good and be kind. Watch 2 hours of simulated murder.
Simulated.
It's an hour and a half at most.
Okay.
Thank you guys so much, Joe. I will try to find you. I owe you some email links to cool stuff. If I forget, just remind me, and I will send it on through later.
All right. Sounds good.
Sweet. Thanks again, guys.
Thanks again for coming on.
Yeah. Peace
See
out.
Ya.
Bye.
Well, that was awesome. What do you think?
Oh, that was awesome. So, I was in fact starstruck.
That was sorry you didn't get to talk much. I know.
Oh, you're good. You're good.
I tried pulling you in as much as you could.
No, it's all good. It's all good. I was caught off guard on occasion.
Do you have any questions?
I don't talk English very good.
English word is bad.
I don't talk English.
So we do have a couple other emails to go through. I figure you could hang out for the rest of the show. And,
absolutely.
Be my tag team partner through the rest of this.
Absolutely.
First emails from Uneaten Lake, episode 128, Toro/Snoopy. He says, just finished episode 138. Good to hear you guys enjoyed Snoopy's grand adventure as much as I did. I didn't find getting all the jelly beans to be much of a chore, though. Once I realized it was a Metroidvania type of game, I ran through each level until I got the last costume. Then I went back to the start and just 100% at each level. It didn't take too long to do, and there were only a few spots that I felt were issues. Oh, and once you find a jelly bean in a level and return, they are purple, sometimes blue. There were a few times where my missing jelly bean was blue, and I was mistaken it for a found jelly bean that was almost the same color blue. Anyhow, if you have the developer of Toro and Yasai Ninja in your speed dial, ask them if they ever plan on fixing Toro. It currently has a broken achievement called Maestro. It's great to hear that they're fixing Yasai, but please ask if they plan on fixing their first game. As for Numa, I found the narrator annoying as well, but it was worth getting to the end of the game. I will have to hit up the Yasai Ninja Toro guys and see if they have any word on that broken achievement. That'd be a cool thing to ask. So, yeah, I'll have to take care of that.
Yeah.
And Snoopy's Grand Adventure was baller. I still never did go back and get the Jelly Beans achievement, but fuck it. I had fun. 970 or 930 out of 1,000 achievements is good enough.
It's close. It's close. It's like the Jelly Bean, like a collected level. I am not caught up on the podcast. I am 2 episodes behind.
You motherfucker.
I know it's been shitty at work. I usually listen to it at work.
You had like 24 hours to catch up by when I asked you if you wanted to come on. You had all that time.
I know. I had all the time. I know. It was a weird day. But like, yeah, I have not played Snoopy's Grand Adventure.
Yeah, Snoopy's Grand Adventure. It just came out 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it's really, really fun, actually. It's made by Behavior Interactive. They've done a bunch of different games. The jelly beans are basically the stage collectible. Most stages have like 300, some have 250, and it's not necessary to get them all, but one of the achievements in the game is to collect all the jelly beans in every level.
Oh.
And I didn't feel like going back to the very first stage and replaying everything to collect everything.
Yeah, it's a commitment.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a super long game. It is a kid's game, so it's not like a 40-hour epic, but I just didn't want to run back and do it all again.
Yeah.
Yay, laziness. Plus, Fallout's out. So, fuck, I didn't ask them how accurate Fallout is. Son of a bitch.
Yes.
Next
how
email.
How many glitches they deal with.
As Potato lays on my desk knocking cans around. God damn it, Potato. I don't know how loud she was the dozen of times that she jumped on the desk through the show.
I didn't really hear her. It can't be as awkward as like me sitting on the futon, plugged like hardwired into the internet connection. And like I said, I'm surrounded by litter boxes and the cat just kind of wanders in and then he's just like, he's taking a shit and he's just not breaking eye contact. He's just like, you're watching this.
You're going to watch this and you're going to enjoy it.
Yeah, he just did not break. When he was covering it up, he was not breaking eye contact. He was just
Something else we talked about on last week's episode was our favorite puzzle games, because Numa, Breath of Life, is free with Games with Gold right now. And we actually have a handful of Steam codes for Numa to give away. And we got an email from Steven Wynn, who says, "My favorite puzzle game is definitely Portal Still Alive. I bought it on Xbox 360. I didn't know much about Portal, but I enjoyed it so much that I played through it at least three or more times." So that is an awesome answer. And we are definitely going to hook you up with a copy of Numa for your email. Sean, do you have any favorite puzzle games?
It's not really a puzzle game per se. It's technically point and click, but there are puzzles in it. Because in and of itself, by my nature, point and click is instantly a puzzle game. The original Monkey Island game. It's not a puzzle game per se, but having to click on shit is puzzling enough for me.
Have you played Numa?
It's currently on my Xbox One, but I have not played it yet.
Nice. You should give it a go.
Yeah, I'm waiting for like a good opportunity to. I'm trying to like limit to like completing one game, which I'm playing Rare Replay, which is fucking 30 games in one.
Oh, you're never going to complete Rare Replay. That's not a thing that happens.
No, I'm just trying to like feel accomplished with Rare Replay.
Like, yeah, that's not going to happen either.
No, oh god, oh god, it keeps going.
Never end.
No, I don't even want to play Perfect Dark. Reloaded, whatever the fuck it was. Oh, I don't want to touch it.
Oh, man. Yeah. Last email we have is from Zach Lyons. Good old Zach. This looks to be a hefty one. His title is Catching Up Again. He says, "Been super busy lately. Not a lot of time to listen to any of my usual podcasts, so I'm playing catch up here." He starts with episode 133, so he is a bit back.
Yeah. All right.
Episode 133, forced to record twice. On muscle memory and Shiz dying a lot in The Walking Dead due to no control inversion, I feel this so hard right now. When I fired up Final Fantasy XII, it took me several hours to get used to controlling the camera properly because you can't invert the controls. Then last week, after playing Final Fantasy XII for about a month, I fired up Hyrule Warriors and just could not get used to the camera because it's totally opposite. Crazy how muscle memory works. I don't know what Shiz did with his 25th anniversary Zelda soundtrack that came with Skyward Sword, but I ripped the CD to my PC when I got the game, and it's never sounded quiet or had low audio quality or whatever. Loved that bonus soundtrack." Yeah, good stuff. Episode 134, JoCam versus the Devs 5, Poncho Power. "The show needs more mouse clicks. Idea, an entire episode of you, Chris, and Pappy all playing Cookie Clicker the entire time." Oh, my God.
Oh, Jesus.
"I laughed when the guy was like, 'When was Final Fantasy 13? That was like 3 years ago, right? Because it was in 2009, 6 years ago now. Doesn't seem like that game is 6 years old, but it is, which is sad because it's still terrible."
Yeah.
And he was spot on with his description of Vaughn in Final Fantasy XII. "He's not a bad character per se. He's just kind of there. He's the beacon that draws all the other interesting characters together. So at least he has that purpose." True.
Yeah.
Episode 135, SML makes you better at Halo. 100% agree with the dude who emailed in talking about Tales from the Borderlands. Definitely game of the year worthy, and definitely a shining moment for Telltale Games as a whole. The entire season is excellent, but the finale truly blows the rest of it out of the water. Please play it ASAP. Life is Strange is also definitely worth playing, and absolutely has some shocking, unexpected, mind-blowing moments." Have you played either of them yet?
I have not. I'm still playing through Game of Thrones, which technically is after Tales of Borderlands in terms of like the Telltale releases. But at the time, I'm like, no, I'm Game of Thronesing it first. And that one, did the fifth episode just come out? Or does it come out next week? Or sixth episode, I should say.
For Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
It's out now.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. Because I was waiting the longest damn time for that. So I still have to play the finale for that. But goddamn, that game's good. And then from there, I'm going to go to finally Walking Dead Season 2.
Nice.
And then Tales from the Borderlands.
See, I have like every Telltale games waiting for me to play. I got halfway through Walking Dead Season 1, and I just haven't played any of them. I own them all.
That's so good.
I own them all except Minecraft. But
yeah, same thing here. Yeah. It's just I hate playing them when they're new still, because I'm still waiting for like the final episodes and such. And I'd rather play it even though it's meant to be episodic, I'd rather play it in like
one burst.
Back to back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not like, oh, okay, I finished episode 4. Now I have to wait 3 months for episode 5 to come out. And I'm like, well, fuck. So that was my issue with most of them. And then foolishly did not realize the time that Game of Thrones was 6 episodes long. So when episode 5 came out, I'm like, yeah. And then I'm like, oh, it's not over.
I've heard a lot of people complaining about the finale of Game of Thrones, but it might all come down to how you play it and your ending that you get. But
I see.
Who knows?
Yeah.
He says while Life is Strange wasn't as great as Borderlands, it's still in his top 5 of the year. And then he legit laughed out loud at any potential, but I don't remember what that's in reference to because that was a month ago.
Yeah.
I'm still behind, but that's where I'm at now. More to come later. So there we go. Emails from Zach.
All right.
So what are you playing, Sean?
I just finished up the definitive edition of the first Tomb Raider. Not the first Tomb Raider, but, you know, the reboot one for the Xbox One.
Yeah, the last game.
Yeah, that one. So I'm waiting to play the new one, The Rise of the Tomb Raider. So I'm like, okay, we've got that set up. We're ready to go. But in the meantime, I'm trying to catch up on my Xbox Games with Gold. So I got that Valiant Hearts, The Great War that I'm trying to play through.
How is that? I've heard a lot of good about it.
I've only played the first few levels. I only started the other day. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. My girlfriend did not enjoy it because like the art style is very kind of cartoonish. But I kind of like that. It reminds me of a more serious kind of Castle Crashers look where it has like, you know, the cartoon hand-drawn kind of characters.
Yeah.
But like it's not as kiddie-ish as Castle Crashers looks. But I mean, it's good. It's good.
Nice. One day I'll get to that. One day.
Yeah, I'm a little bit. Yeah, you're not as behind as me. I mean, my next one after that is fucking Alien Isolation. So,
dude, I am my backlog is gigantic because, especially with this fall, how we've been getting more and more review copies of games.
Oh yeah, like,
there's so many games I'll fire up and start, and I'll just never get to finish. But I have to move on because I have to play other games.
Yeah, my fucking gamer score is tarnished because of Tesla Punk.
Oh, I think that was, God, are you one of those people who needs it to end in a 0 or 5?
It does. It's not that it needs to end in a 0 or 5. It's just that it bothers me that it ends in a 1. I think it was any other fucking number. Like it could have been a 3 or a 4. It wouldn't have been as bad, but it just bothers me that it's a 1. I got to get like a 5-point achievement. I bump it to 6 or something.
There you go. You'll be good.
Yeah. I don't know why.
Mine's at 309 right now.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I stopped caring about my achievement ending in a 5 or a 0 long ass time ago because there's too many games that come out now with 1-point or 3-point shit like that.
Yeah, they got to fill ways of filling up 1,000.
So I stopped caring about what the number is. As long as I can get some cool landmarks along the way, I'm happy.
Yeah, that's like the fucking wallet balance before they switched to actually money in the wallets, and they had that glitched Rock Band song that was like 1 credit. I fucking bought it, so my fucking account was like 98. Like it,
that's funny.
Terrible number. It didn't make sense, and I'm like, well, this sucks. I have no shame.
And then there were people who would make like in the early days of the 360, they would sell like Gamer Pick for 100 Microsoft points.
Yeah.
Which is like $1.25 or something like that.
Yeah, it was 60 was a dollar or was 80 a dollar?
80 was a dollar.
80 was a dollar? Yeah, so $1.25.
And so like you never had a way to get it back to an 80 or a 60 or just something that you can, you know, have a normal even dollar amount anymore. Because who used the
totally
quarter
back
then?
You just had to buy 3 more picture packs.
Yeah.
I remember those days, and I was like downloading all the free shit, and I was like, "Oh, it's a free picture pack," and I was so excited. And I had my fucking credit card linked up to it or whatever, and it was just it came right off the card. And then found out like half the shit wasn't free. So suddenly I had original Iron Man movie character fucking that profile pics, and I have $5 out of my credit card, and I'm like, why do I have all these micro charges on my credit card? And it's all the damn Iron Man and Incredible Hulk things, and I regret every minute of that.
Oh, that sucks.
It was awkward.
So what do you think of the new Xbox experience?
I've only have one day's worth of experience with it on the new experience.
Really?
You got it early, right? Like you did the...
I was in the preview program, so I had it for a long time, but it launched last week.
Correct. Yes. I only played this past weekend. So I hadn't played like 2 weeks prior. So like it surprised me why I launched Xbox and I'm like, okay, how do I get to my games?
Right trigger takes you right down to your games.
I did not know that. I was so fucking confused. I kept scrolling down and I would scroll to the right and I'm like, I'm in the store now, and I'm like, all right, okay.
Yeah, a lot of people, they don't realize how easy everything is to get to now. They're like, oh, I just want to get to my games and apps. Hit the right trigger one time, and it's that icon.
Yeah, it was
then
nice.
Then you go in.
Yeah,
one's like, I don't know how to get to my party and everything now. From the home menu, hit left. Everything's there.
Yeah. Yes, it's really nice.
I love the new look and everything.
I don't like the giant boxes, but I mean, obviously the old one had giant boxes too, where it's like a giant preview window of what you're looking at. But that's just more so an aesthetic thing for me. It's the same way with like the Microsoft Windows computers and shit. This is like, I'm like, I don't care. I don't like the aesthetic of it. Yeah.
One day you'll like it.
One day.
You'll learn to love it.
And then they'll change it on me and I'll be like, son of a bitch. And we'll be back to the blades again.
I miss the blades. Those were nice.
No. They were nice at the time. But if you'd like go back and try to play, I like the fucking my old 360. It still had the blades on and everything. And you should go back and play it. They were not nice. They were so not nice.
I just got an email.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'll read that later.
Oh, okay.
It's not a show email. It was like a me email.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And you can share with the podcast if you like, Joe.
I think it was the one lady from Capcom who hooked us up with the Resident Evil codes.
Oh, okay.
We were just chatting back and forth. I briefly asked if Capcom does collector's editions for like the Mega Man Legacy collector edition coming out with the gold Mega Man amiibo.
Ooh.
But they said that Capcom doesn't really do collector editions for review or unboxing videos. So I actually, GameStop was still taking pre-orders and I threw $10 on one.
Oh, okay.
So I will have my gold Mega Man amiibo. And
if
Mike Micah ever comes on the show again, I could be like, Mike, it's cool. I'll have it. Since Mike Micah was the one working on the Legacy Collection, and I guess he's one of the guys who was behind the gold amiibo.
Ooh.
So I'll be excited for Mike to come on again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. So Joe, what are you playing?
Fallout.
Yeah.
Played some Rock Band for the new DLC that came out this week, and like I want to like the new songs that came out, but so much of it is awkward alt strumming that I just can't.
Yeah.
It's like that Ed Sheeran song for the majority of it. It's like the chorus stuff. It's just alt strumming with different chords, and my fingers can't do that.
Same thing with Walk the Moon, right?
Not really. During the verses, there's alt strumming stuff, but it's only like two fingers for the majority. I'm still bad at it because it's the alt strumming where there's like strum six times, then stop one, and then seven, and then nothing. I can't do that shit, so I just strum the whole time, and I lose my combo constantly. It's good songs. I'm just terrible at playing them.
Yeah, like, I am so happy that Walk the Moon's finally in the game. A little disappointed that it's, you know, their hit that everyone loves. Cause, I mean, I love their first album, but I mean, you know, I'll take it.
I never heard of them before.
Oh my God, their first album's great. It's like a kind of like an indie alternative rock. But it's first album would be fun, a rock band, at least for drums, which obviously does not appeal to you, but
no.
Yeah.
Pappy would like it. Too bad he didn't hear that punk ass bitch.
No. Being sick and shit.
Peeing out his butt.
Peeing out his anus.
That's fantastic. God damn, Pappy. Yeah, it's funny where I mentioned, hey, next week we're going to have Harmonix on. Can you guys be free? Pappy's like, I'll try, but I have to stream games that day because he does his weekly streams. And Chris was like, oh, I'm like going out with a girl the whole day. Like, we're finally getting Harmonix back on and you fuckers are backing out.
Nobody's available.
I thought Pappy was going to do it. And then I verified with him on Monday. It's like, hey, that interview's confirmed for Monday. He's like, oh, I'm streaming. And now he has the flu anyway, so whatever.
Yeah.
Their loss is your gain.
It is. It is. I was starstruck and could not speak English.
Words?
There were words. There were words. It was like the Scrabble version where you could put those words in any form you want. But there were words at some point in there.
True.
Yeah,
man.
Or I had a stroke. I don't realize it yet. That's possible too. haven't tried standing up yet. We'll figure that out shortly.
I hope you did. That'd be funny.
That would be like
you text me at like 1 a.m, like, hey, dude, just woke up in the ER. I did have a stroke.
I did in fact have a stroke.
I'll have to add that to the description on Friday if you did in fact have a stroke.
Status on Facebook and just like, oh yeah.
So a little bit of news I did want to talk about is there was an interview with Yoshinori Ono, the guy behind Street Fighter V. GameSpot had an interview with him, and one of the questions was, what is your message to Street Fighter fans on Xbox One? Because as we all know, Street Fighter V is a PlayStation 4 exclusive.
Yes.
This would be when someone would like take the high road and be like, we appreciate our fans on there, but we have this partnership to further the best interest of the franchise and blah, 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 blah. His reply from GameSpot was first brackets of laughs. And then he says there's plenty of time to save $300 before the game comes out. The PlayStation 4 is at a very attractive price point at the moment. Laughs.
Oh, okay.
Which I read that comment and I immediately went on Amazon and canceled my order of Street Fighter V.
Oh, yeah.
If a developer is going to be that much of a dick about the game and the platform that it's on, I don't want to support him.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's like lost in translation and there was like
I don't think it was. Just the way the laughing, I think, is like that. It's just a dickish answer to be like, oh, well, save up money and buy a console, buy a PS4.
Yeah, it's like,
how about eat my dick?
Yeah.
Like, if you just explain it as like, if this was a necessary business decision to further the console, we apologize to Xbox owners. We hope that you enjoy the other Capcom games that release on your platform. And instead, he's like, save up money and buy a PS4, fuckers.
He's like, well, that's a shame.
So fuck him. I had the collector's edition pre-ordered and I canceled it, and I will go without Street Fighter V. I was interested in picking it up. I was interested because I'm not a huge fighting game fan, but I do like the series, and I thought that the Ryu, and I'm never going to say Ryu, I think the Ryu statue looked pretty awesome in it, and I was excited to pick it up, but fuck him.
Yeah, so does that mean you're not going to get the Super HD Remix 2.5 edition when it comes on the Xbox One in 5 years?
Well, they already said that there is no version of Street Fighter that has the number 5 in it that will ever come to Xbox.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, like they said that, you know, an HD remake, like a arcade edition, stuff like that, it's never going to come.
Okay.
You know, if they pull a Capcom like they did with Resident Evil 4 and they lie about it and it does show up on Xbox, maybe I'll support their decision. But for now, if he wants to say something that fucking ignorant,
yeah.
They had my sale and they just lost it.
Yeah.
And people know how much I hate the PS4 and the fact that I was going to buy the game for the PS4. Nah, not anymore.
Yeah, that was taken. You were taking the high road over your hatred of PS4 right there.
Yeah, because, you know, I still buy PS4 games. There are games that come out that I would like to play that are only on that platform. So,
and then it kills your PS4.
Yeah. Just like The Order did, where it set it on fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Shit's cray. Totally
cray.
Yeah,
that shit very cray.
But yes. I still have Fallout, so I've put way too much time in that game so far.
I have not picked it up.
I think I'm at like 30 hours already.
See, you're gonna roll your eyes and like stab me for this, but I don't think I'm gonna buy Fallout for another 10 years or so. Because
why?
Because when I got my 360, like way back when fucking Oblivion was out, I played Oblivion and I was like completely enamored by the game. I was like living like a hermit in the hole for like a week with that game. It was unhealthy. I mean, I put so many hours into that game. And then Fallout 3 came out. I did the same thing. I was like, holy shit. I put like 150 hours in the game. Like, oh, it's so great. Then Skyrim came out. And then I'm like, no, I have to be a responsible adult now. I need to like save time. And then somehow over the course of time, put like a weekend where I can just dedicate a weekend to it. I can't be a hermit with this game. So, what was Skyrim was 11, 11, 11?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So, over 4 fucking years later, I still haven't played Skyrim.
Man.
I have not played Skyrim. I fucking own Skyrim for the Xbox 360. I own it for the fucking PC, like digitally on Steam, and like the fucking physical copy on Steam. I own 3 copies of Skyrim, and I haven't played the damn game yet because I'm like, it's unhealthy. Me with Bethesda's games, it's unhealthy. And I don't have the time to dedicate my life like I want to that game if I wanted to. So in preparation of this and the fact that 4 years later I still haven't played Skyrim, I did not buy Fallout 4 because I'm like, you know what? I'm going to wait because if I just buy it now, I'm going to spend $60 for a paperweight that's literally going to sit next to Skyrim on the shelf and I'll probably own 7 copies of Fallout 4 and then never play the damn thing. My expectations for it are too high of like wanting to like amount of time I want to put into it.
Yeah.
So sad.
I'm having fun with it. Everyone like someone did a video of sarcastic replies that you could do in the game because instead of having a normal like select the dialogue tree, basically your answers are mapped to the face button, so you have 4 options.
Okay.
Most of the time, the X button is displayed as sarcastic, so you give a smart-ass reply, many of them being quite funny, and someone made a video of some of their favorite sarcastic answers. I think it was Outside Xbox that did it. And at the beginning, it said, there's no spoilers in this, no explicit spoilers in the game, but it does have dialogue from many early game quests. And a big majority of the answers that they had were in this area called Diamond City, which as soon as you exit the vault and you go to the first town and you basically get your settlement started again, they tell you that you can either, you know, go to this village that needs help, you can explore the wasteland, or you could go to Diamond City to inquire about your son. I still have not been to Diamond City. I am 30 hours into the game. Let me see if I could pull up my stats on the game quick. Just pull up the game hub and.
And is your quest with your son in Diamond City like the main story?
That's like the main storyline. It's not really spoilers because it happens in the intro to the game. But the way the game works is 200 years prior to the game, when the bombs fall, you're just in town. In Sanctuary, a happy, wonderful place, and you sign up to live in the vault if the apocalypse were to happen, and they announce that the bombs are dropping in Pennsylvania and in everywhere else, and you run to the vault, And what you don't know when you go into the vault is they put you in this chamber as a decontamination chamber, but what they're really doing is freezing you.
Oh.
And 200 years pass. And sometime in that period, the freezers turn off and you see these raiders come in, open up your wife's chamber or your husband, depending on which role you play. And they're holding the baby at the time. They steal the baby and then kill your spouse. And then they start the freezers back up and you go back to La La Land and you eventually come out of it and you're looking for your son. So that's, that is the base plot line of the game. And the first real location you go to is Diamond City.
Diamond City.
I have not been to Diamond City.
Holy shit.
My time played, according to the app, the game hub, my in-game time is actually higher than what it says here, but it is 1 day, 7 hours, and 35 minutes. So that's 31 and a half hours.
Yeah.
Game progress, 38%. Locations discovered, 130. Level 26. I have not gone to the first main big location in the game. I've done everything else, and I'm still doing other stuff. I haven't gone there.
When you fucking roll into that bitch, you're just going to be head to toe with the best gear. You're going to be the top of every guild and freaking faction in the game. And you're just going to roll in. You'd be like, hey, where's my kid?
The worst part is I hate the internet for this, but people have already spoiled the storyline for me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So fucking people on Reddit, you guys are all assholes.
So your kid's Ron Perlman then.
Basically.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing that happened with Halo 5, where someone spoiled the story on there. I explained it on the show a couple weeks ago. It would be kind of the best comparison I could give it to would be like Star Wars, where the title of their topic was spoilers in parentheses about Vader being Luke's dad.
Oh.
But they said that about the storyline in Halo, just the biggest spoiler in the title. And it was apparently, according to him, it was our fault for reading the title because it had spoiler in the title.
What?
He's like, yeah, well, it's your fault because you read the title. I mean, he got banned for being a dickhead.
But you still saw it.
Yeah, because it was the fucking title. If it was in the body, like the actual text of the topic, and I read it, that would be on me because the title says spoilers. But you can't say spoilers and then put the spoiler in the fucking title.
Yeah.
But yeah, people did that shit with Fallout, and it's people need to be punched.
Yeah.
There were people who made animated GIFs of like the two-headed cow animal in the game. And people didn't know what it was. It was just like a generic title of like hilarious moment. And it would just show the cow for a couple of seconds and then text would pop up with the spoiler.
Oh.
Like just intentional dick baggery.
Dick. Yeah.
There were people on Reddit who would just private message people on the Fallout boards and tell them the main twist. Just message random people like this is what happens.
Yeah.
How big of a dickhead do people need to be?
That is what I am worried about with the new Star Wars movie, is whatever the fuck happens in that movie, we're all going to know unless you go see it.
Yeah, so. People are assholes.
Yeah, I'm going to find out that Luke's dead and Luke's the bad guy and everybody dies. And
yeah, that's the big rumor is that Luke is the evil one now, so
I think he gets killed.
Yeah, I'm sure someone dies. Someone has to die.
Yeah, they have to.
So what else are you playing?
Finally, after what's it, a month? Maybe 2 months? I don't know. Forza 6. Finally starting to play that.
Is my Drivatar in your game?
Yes.
Am I fucking your shit up?
No, kicking his ass.
Oh, you bitch.
Yeah.
You're playing on easy, aren't you?
Playing on average, actually.
Eh, you liar. I'd be kicking your ass if it was on average.
Nah, that's average. It's like a custom because it was originally an easy because I was like, you know what, why not? But then easy had like all these fucking assists. And I'm like, I don't even have to actually do anything. I can just hold the gas and still win every race. So, I mean, by all means, I can look like the most badass driver in the world by doing that. But, yeah, no. So I kind of bumped it up to average and I added some custom shit into it as well. So.
Nice. Yeah. So what do you think of Forza and the whole, the card mechanic?
I haven't really, like the mods and stuff?
Yeah, the mods, sorry.
Yeah.
There's so many games that have shit like that now, like the Rex and Halo and the cards and Tomb Raider.
I haven't actually used them that much. I use the ones in the tutorial. I don't really race online. I'm just racing in like the story campaign, like that, the offline. And I've only pretty much used the ones from the tutorial. And I've just kind of just been coasting with whatever I have since then. I mean, I've only played for about like an hour and a half, so I haven't played it nearly as much as I have previous games or in the past. I mean, I've only just started. Like Forza Horizon 2, I played the shit out of.
Fuck yeah.
But it also helped that a fucking year ago, living in Buffalo, a year ago we had 8 feet of snow, so I was literally like snowed in the house. I'm like, I'm just gonna play fucking Diablo and Forza. But yeah, no, I mean it's an interesting mechanic, I guess. It's going the whole small. There are no microtransactions with it, right? Like, or are there hidden ones where you can like buy cards with actual money?
They added tokens to the game just like this past week or something, where you can have microtransactions, but it's like Horizon 2 where it's not needed at all.
Yeah. Yeah. See that is pretty much the extent of my worrying is that all these games are slowly turning into like Yu-Gi-Oh! And Pokemon, where it's like, you gotta pay money to like buy little booster packs and shit.
Yeah.
And then like hopefully you can continue playing with that. Which, I mean, if as long as there's a base game that can play without doing that, I'm totally fine with. I'd be completely fine with it. But
yeah, I love Forza though. And I think the mods are awesome. The mods I used, one would be like a performance mod. One would be a dare mod, like they have different dare cards, like do the race with this effect and get this much bonus money. And I would get one that's like chase cam for an extra 10% because I use the chase cam anyway. So it's just a free 10% on every race.
Yeah.
And then there's ones like start in 24th position for an extra 30% money, stuff like that.
Oh, I totally do that shit.
Yeah, you should definitely check out the mods. And then they have single use mods that are like 10% bonus experience in this race or 6,000 driver experience in this race. And those are one time use, and you just keep opening more packs and getting more shit to use. And you use your in-game credits to open those packs.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, definitely check out the mods.
Absolutely, then.
And make sure to check your Forza rewards, too, to get your free money.
Yeah, from the AI driver tires.
Oh, not just that, but do you have the Forza rewards app?
I do not know.
Oh, motherfucker, you've been missing out.
Oh.
It's a free app on the system, and every week, depending on what level you are, based on your entire Forza history, you get free money each week automatically deposited into every Forza game that you own.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's fucking odd. I get like $300,000 a week for Forza 6.
Shit.
Yeah, and all you have to do is open the app once a week and click on the thing that's like, claim your rewards here.
Hmm. I like free shit.
Yeah, fucking find the app, download it, get that shit going.
I have to.
Oh, man. I don't know what else to talk about. We're an hour 40 in. We could probably end it here.
Yeah.
Unless you have anything else to talk about.
Not particularly, no.
Fallout. You got to pick up Fallout.
Eventually, in like 10 years.
You got to pick up Rock Band 4. I mean, what the fuck, dude?
it's partly because of the apartment, because it's not really not too much space to, you know, play in the apartment other than guitar, and it's partly also because of the lack of online play.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
I mean, there's only so much jamming I can do just sitting there banging away at the drum set. Plus the fact that I'd be banging away at the drum set because I would enjoy drumming.
Yeah,
I would make room for the drums, and that'd probably piss off all my neighbors. So that probably
you still got to visit down here and get a bunch of drum achievements for me.
I do. I mean, you have plenty of drum sets available.
I think I have three of them here.
Yeah, there you go.
I have my Rock Band 2 kit. I have a Guitar Hero World Tour kit, and I have the Rock Band 4 kit.
There you go.
Because I picked up Rock Band 4 digitally and the band in a bundle.
Yeah, that works. Yeah.
Because I wasn't cool enough for the fucking road crew. I'm going to have to hit up Allie and be like, so, now that you know how awesome I am, why aren't I in the road crew?
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, shit. Well, I guess music this week, I just got the Assassin's Creed Syndicate soundtrack from my Big Ben edition of the game, which the unboxing is now on our YouTube page. You can check that out. My awesome European import. I'll play some of the music from there, I guess. I'm not sure if it's any good or not, but there's 30 tracks to pick from, so I'm sure I'll find a couple of good tracks.
It's steampunky.
Indeed. So, any final words for our listeners?
Keep sending in emails, everybody. Keep sending in. I'm not sure if there's going to be a theme necessarily for next week or anything like that, but...
Who knows? If we have an interview, cool. If not, whatever. But yeah,
exactly. But
email at thesmlpodcast@gmail.com. You heard that guy earlier. He's getting Numa for free.
Yes, he's getting Numa for Steam, which from what I hear, not from personal experience because it's still sitting in my hard drive, is a phenomenal game. But indeed. I mean, I have played games in the past from thesmlpodcast@gmail.com that I've gotten for free that have all been fantastic. So just keep emailing in. And if there is a theme, get thematic up in this bitch. And then, with some free shit.
Yeah.
It's always nice.
Hey, and in the coming weeks, we're going to have the game Rock Zombies for the Xbox One for free as well.
There you go. Rock Zombies.
Yeah. Comes out December 4th.
I'm hoping it's better than Rock of the Dead because that was not good.
I never played Rock of the Dead.
It was bad. It was bad.
Maybe they'll bring that to backward compatibility.
Yeah.
Oh, did you get any backward compatible titles?
I just the Games for Gold one. That's the only ones I'm aware of.
Did you even check your ready to install list?
Nope.
You gotta do that, man. You could have games sitting there waiting for you.
I have like no room in my hard drive because it's already filled up with stuff I gotta play still.
Then,
including the Master Chief Collection, which is like half the hard drive.
Then you gotta get yourself an external hard drive as well.
I do.
You need Fallout, you need an external hard drive, you need Rock Band.
I need money.
True.
I need money.
True.
With money, I can get Rock Band. That's for sure. Yeah.
Now, that said, I guess our final words for the week is get money, fuck Pappy.
Yeah, exactly. Rock and roll.
A tender tale of Maxwell Roth. He saw the footlights like a moth. His sense of timing never off until he opted to collaborate with a hooded reprobate. A blighter and assassin made a deadly double bill. Jokes, jokes, jokes make him laugh until they choke. Fairly slay him in the aisles. Maiden's fair and princess charming. Frills, frills, frills. Dashing feats and bloody spills. And I guarantee you'll never see the ending coming. The curtain rose, the scene was set, they danced a murderous duet, and much deserving blood was let up to. And a scene wherein they disagreed on who should live and who should bleed, and Maxwell Roth, he then received a very bad review. Jokes, 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 and there's daggers and there's cloaks, but behind the scenes the leading players differ on the plot. Laugh, laugh, laugh at the dandy's new red scarf, now out shows a week to Beelzebub is his eternal lot. Jokes, jokes, jokes make them laugh until they choke. Fairly slay them in the aisles. Maiden's fair and princess charming. Frills, frills, frills. Dashing feats and bloody spills. And I guarantee you never see the ending coming.